This is the Mix Coach Podcast, episode 39. We're going to be talking about crazy vocal tricks.
Welcome to the Mix Coach Podcast, the podcast dedicated to making your next recording your best recording.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. What I was wanting to talk to you about today for the podcast here is like effects chains, whether it be vocal effects chains or anything, just plugins that people may not have thought of or uses for plugins that people may not have thought of that you use, even if it's like you only used it once in 100,000 songs that you mixed, you know. Literally just kind of unique things that you've done before with specific plugins and that sort of thing.
Well, one plugin that I used to use a lot was tape. I literally, that's where I cut my teeth, is on an old Studer 24-track tape.
Nice.
And an analog console.
So did you edit with the razor blades?
I did, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That is an art.
And we would actually, you know, when you would print like a reverse reverb on a snare drum.
Oh, wow.
You literally had to
reverse the tape.
Reverse the tape and print
gosh.
It. Yeah, those are gone. Those days are kind of gone for now, at least anyway. But so one of the things, the old plugins that I used to use that I'm kind of missing now is tape.
It's tape. Yeah. We were talking about it the other day. You were showing me some video about, you know, some tape and that sort of thing. What types of, uses did you love about tape, and where do you use them, and do you implement them with plugins or anything like that now?
Well, tape, in its day, I mean, it had good points and bad points. I remember several times having a tape printing too hot or printing something, using your VU meters to determine peak, and then it would splat, like a kick drum would splat or something.
Oh, man.
We couldn't trigger, so you were kind of like born with a splatty. You had to mix a song with a splatty kick drum, and so those are the bad things about tape.
Yeah.
But on a good day, on a good day, when you would record vocals at this first studio, didn't have automation.
Mm.
I mean, it was literally all hands on deck.
Nice.
I was, you know, not producing a lot then. I would sit with the producer, and sometimes a person from the group that we were recording, we would say, okay, at this part of the song, you push that up, and I'm going to push this up. And mixing was a performance of two or three people, which was kind of fun, come to think of it.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about it, I don't know that we could do that nowadays because there's no tape.
Yeah.
And one of the subtleties of tapes is it compresses a little bit in a very musical way. And one of the things I've noticed is that whenever I've recorded a vocalist on tape and then mixed it, I didn't have to do as many rides on their vocal as I do. So to tell you the truth, I'm missing tape a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Steve Massey has some of the, is it Steve Massey?
I think so.
Massey plugins.
Yeah, the Massey plugins.
You should check it out if you don't have any of his plugins.
He's got some great ones.
He's got some great plugins. His de-esser is phenomenal. His mastering limiter is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
But I just bought tape the other day, and I've been experimenting with tape because I had a singer that had a real pointed sound, and I didn't want to de-ess him in that register.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to compress him too much. I wanted it to sound natural, and so I went and bought a tape plugin.
Yeah.
And it was good, but I would love to hear what we are emulating.
Yeah.
The tape emulation versus real tape.
Right. I mean, there's only so much that I guess ones and zeros can do whenever it comes to all that.
But, you know, if there's a plugin that emulates it, I bet you the Massey one does. I'm curious to see the one that Avid is putting out now. I think it's called Heat.
Okay. Yeah.
I thought that was going to come with Pro Tools 9, and I was a little disappointed.
It might come with Pro Tools 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a very smart thing.
Anyway.
Are you teasing me?
But as far as, you know, the tape type thing goes, would you consider getting like a tape machine? I mean, you could have said the other day something about you could choose how hard you could hit it, hit the tape, and that was always an effect thing. How would you emulate that with plugins on your Pro Tools rig? Is that possible, or is it just kind of out of the question?
Well, you could choose how hard you hit tape. I don't think that at that phase in my career I was experimenting with how hard you hit tape, because you have to think, when I was recording, and this was like in the early 90s, mm-hmm. Literally, this is the way a session would go down. Day one, you track the band. Mm. Day two, you track all the vocals. Day three, you mix the whole record.
Yeah.
So there's not a whole lot of room for experimentation.
Gotcha.
Unless it, you know, like we talked about on the last podcast, like you zoom way out and you say, okay, this whole project, the kick drum is going to be splatty.
Right.
You know, there was that way of doing things, but I don't know how you would experiment with that. And I cannot remember the name. Do you remember what we were looking at the other day on? YouTube, it's a system. Maybe you can look it up while I'm talking about it. It's a system that actually integrates into Pro Tools, and you actually listen to the input of your microphone as you're recording the vocal. And at the same time, it sends out a signal to your tape machine. It could be an MCI tape machine or a Sony or a Studer or something like that, and it records it on the tape. And then it returns it from the repro head. And I hope I'm not talking Greek to some of you guys, but literally we used to have to know this kind of stuff to record. It would literally loop it through the tape machine, and then it would come back and print it in Pro Tools. So you get the best of both worlds. You actually get to record on tape and in Pro Tools. You get all the editing of Pro Tools, but you get all the warmth and that subtle compression and, you know, the things that make it not hard to mix mm-hmm. in Pro Tools.
It's called EndlessAnalog .com. It's the CLASP system.
CLASP. I was going to call it SMART or something like that.
No, it's the CLASP. CLASP. And it allows you to control it right there in the interface. So.
Right. Which that makes me kind of wish I had a tape machine so that, you know, I could put that extra. You know, we talked a few episodes about not competing on price, which makes you think outside the box. How can I compete with everyone else by doing something no one else is doing?
Right.
I would love to own a 24-track tape machine. If any of you guys have one,
yeah,
I'd love to.
Send it.
You can send it.
Just email MixCoach and
send it to me. Don't send it to John.
I mean, I'll take it too, but.
But we were talking about odd effects and stuff.
Effects,
you know,
sort of
to be honest with you, John, I am not like real innovative when it comes to that sort of thing, because I still mix pretty much on a schedule, and I have to get certain things done. So my experimentation is kind of a little bit light sometimes when it comes to that. But I can tell you what I've done in the past. I've run vocals through an amp simulator before.
Nice.
Which and added to the vocal.
So like a parallel type
thing. Kind of like a parallel compression, except it's parallel distortion, I guess. you can do
like
that.
It.
And one of my favorite things to do, and I'm sure that some of you guys have seen this on my videos, I will take a mono aux send and then put a mono delay on there.
Nice.
And then I will mix the delay about, you know, so that it's time to like quarters, eighths, or dotted eighths, mostly dotted eighths. And then I'll set the mix to about 15 to 20%.
Nice.
And then I'll put a reverb, a mono to stereo reverb after that. So what happens is you get a delayed signal plus the dry signal hitting the reverb.
Nice.
So you don't have to put as much reverb on a vocal, like say a ballad vocal.
Yeah.
Because the vocal is actually hitting the reverb twice.
Yeah.
Once when the vocalist actually sings it, and once delay. That's a dotted eighth behind.
Nice.
And you could even do a couple of delays of that and actually get away with using shorter reverb times.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a crazy way of doing it.
I mean, it's unique. I mean, I rarely see that a lot of times. A lot of times I'll see like a stereo delay, but no wetness on it. But I mean, that's great. No.
Well, that's another thing you can do is you can actually do a stereo delay and add reverb to that delay. It's kind of doing the same thing. And a lot of people ask me why I do the mono instead of the stereo.
Right.
To me, I'm limiting myself. I guess the bottom line is I'm limiting myself because I don't want to worry about panning of a reverb unit.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about which,
or of a delay, you know, which side's hitting first.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't want to think about that stuff. And if I ever found a delay that I just absolutely loved in stereo, or reverb, I would probably use it, mm-hmm. but I haven't found anything that just makes me go, OMG.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So as far as other like innovative stuff, I think I'm going to start experimenting with parallel tape compression.
Great.
In other words, like on a vocal track, and I haven't done this yet. What I did when I bought the Massey thing, mm-hmm. to me, it didn't quite give me the effect I wanted. It took me in that direction. So probably what I'll do on the next one is have a clean signal and then add a overly
nice.
Tape compressed signal to the side of that. Almost
nice.
Like a, treat it like a,
yeah,
like a reverb unit,
yeah.
but it'll be dry.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's the crazy stuff that you were looking for. What have you
that's
heard?
That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. There's some other crazy things like on a vocal, what you can do is put a stereo delay and flip the phase on one side, mm-hmm. so that if it combines to mono, it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But and so it doesn't matter. But it, you know, and the stereo thing, it adds a little bit more to your stereo field,
right.
that sort of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, I can tell you one other thing that I've done on background vocals before.
Yeah.
That's kind of coming back into style again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take the background vocals and only the background vocals, no lead vocal in there. So you only take the harmony vocals.
Yeah.
And you run it through a pitch shift and you pitch one side up.
And one side down.
Like six cents and
okay.
one side down six, not 6 cents. No, it's 6 cents, not six semitones, because that would really sound really bad.
That would really be weird.
Yeah. a couple of crazy things I've done is created a loop with a pitch shifter to where you send the vocal signal to the first pitch shifter and made it 100% wet, so that what came out of the pitch shifter was maybe a third higher.
Mm.
And then you run it to another pitch shifter, which shifts that up, and then you run it back to the first pitch shifter. So the end result of that is a climbing vocal.
Wow.
Which you can then add reverb to, and it disappears. So it's kind of it's like a different take on,
yeah,
on that.
It.
So you can like do a top and it'll go. Da-da-da-da. It'll
wow.
kind of disappear. Now, I think there's some plugins now. I think Echo, not Echo Boy, but there's one put out by Harmonizer,
yeah,
Eventide, that everyone tells me about that's pretty cool that will do that sort of thing. So if you're looking for odd, you know, and you don't have to go up a third. You can go up a few semitones,
yeah.
or maybe a few cents or something like that to send a little bit of width to the verb. I mean, I know that's not crazy stuff, but it works sometimes.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of stuff like it may not be, you know, as crazy, but I mean it's thinking about it that way is a different way to think about your mixes and a different way to think about, oh well, I can do this to open it up, or I can, you know, do this to give it a different effect, a more interesting effect, that
yeah.
sort of thing, something that other people don't do.
Right.
Yeah. It's great. No, that's great.
Well, hopefully some of these crazy vocal tricks are crazy enough for you guys. If you have any crazy things that you've tried, come by the website, mixcoach.com. Look for episode number
39
already?
39, yeah,
wow.
already.
39. Go to episode 39 and be sure and comment in the section. And I'd like to know what you're doing and how it worked for you. But until then, I guess we will try to put another podcast together, and maybe we'll see you in a couple weeks, okay? Thank you guys for your time. Bye.
For a free download of Kevin's video called 5 Things Every Great Mixer Knows, head over to mixcoach.com/freetips.